All right. Okay, today is Wednesday, March 9th, and this is the 1 p.m. Eastern Time PSS group, Older Kids. This is Jeremy Didier. And our topic this week is focusing on the process and not the achievement. So, Derek, you updated me a little bit on your job. You want to tell me what's going on at home or how things have been? Do a quick celebration or check-in?
Well, I think the celebration is my son, you know, he's been looking for a passion outside of just school and, you know, life in general, video games. You know, he's kind of been looking for a sport, and we've recently been able to get him a junior membership at a golf club. And he's really taken to golf to where he's playing 3 or 4 days a week. And
oh, my gosh.
And so are going to the range at least and generally playing golf at least twice a week. He wants to try it for the high school team, which I think is a good goal. It's an ambitious goal. I'm not sure if it'll be this year or maybe he might be more suited next year. He just, you know, he just walked out on the course one day and thought he should be shooting, you know, PGA-type score.
Well, yeah.
He's finding out what every other golfer in this world knows, that it's a hard game and it's not as easy as it looks on TV. But and he's played off and on in the past. His grandfather's really put the golf bug into him, and it's just, for whatever reason, it's just not where – I mean, I only play a few times. I enjoy playing. I just never have time because it's a big time commitment. But
it does take a long time, yeah.
His father-in-law is, or my father-in-law, rather, his grandfather is always really pushed it on him, and he's really taken to it. That's kind of the one way they bond. You know, it's the one area where they really have a lot in common. And so I think it's good. He's been able to do that, and he's been – we're still having our issues. Don't misunderstand me. But
sure.
He's been more responsive at home because he can't go play golf until certain obligations are met.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he misses or if it's threatened that he misses a day of golf, that, you know, he really doesn't like that. So,
yeah. So it's a powerful motivator for him.
He is. And we continue to work with an ADHD counselor who we're working on a program right now to where we're trying to back off, you know, a little bit and just put more end achievements in place. So right now it's grades that, you know, at the end of the school year for his grades meeting a certain amount to where we stop passing about grades so much, and we're just going to see how it works out, that he has a target goal that he has to meet at the end of the year, certain A's, B's, and I think it's one will allow one C. And if that happens, he gets a, you know, he'll get some sort of an award, you know, really big achievement or something.
Okay, cool. And he just started playing golf just now? He'd never played before?
Well, like I said, he plays during the summer, and he and I go hit the range on occasion, but with my new job, it's, you know, my wife and I were able to, you know, we had the means to get him a junior membership.
Gotcha.
And so he's, so he's starting to play more actively, you know, like I said, 3 or 4 times a week. And also he and I have been, you know, playing together on the weekends. So as a junior membership, with the junior membership, I can still play with him on the weekends. And, so he and I are spending, you know, more time together, just, we generally walk the course, and you know we play 9 holes and go out and hit. But so we're spending more time together, which is you know, I think helped a little bit. And,
yeah.
So you know we still have our issues, but you know for the most part he's you know it's kind of like you talked about. It's more the process than the end result, and that's really really timely because everything you do just kind of chips away. You know whether you be more patient with them or whatever it is. You know it's truly a process. So.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Cool. Thanks for checking in. That's great. Let's see. We've had some other people join us. Who do we have here? Oh, my names aren't coming up. Okay. Who joined us from Newton, Massachusetts? Wow. We're doing check-ins and celebrations.
Hi, that would be Miriam. How are you?
Hey, Miriam. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on with my names. They disappeared. So I just
the worst issue.
Today. It'll be kind of fun. Yeah, so what's been happening? You want to tell me what's going great?
What's going great? Well, I'll give myself a pat on the back that I've been very diligent about my goals, about grateful lists, and
awesome.
You know, trying to limit what we're doing. Probably take me off the speaker there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, Marion?
Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
Nope.
I hate phones. It's been a very, 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 very stressful family week. I'm happy we still were able to do our weekly family meeting and game night, which I'm still thrilled is going so well.
Yay.
So there's a good start.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Isn't that great when you've had like a really stressful week, but you still are able to do the things that are kind of critically important to your heart and to the household? I love that. That's great. Thank you. Who else joined us? Is it Carolyn?
Yes.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Well, sorry to say, it's been difficult. Our dog passed away a week and a half ago on Sunday.
Oh, Carolyn, I'm so sorry.
I know. So if I cry, I'm just realizing I'm scanning the room carefully for Kleenex because I'm like, I can't. There's many blessings that this is really a process. But what it was is that my husband and my daughter were out in the front yard and really connecting beautifully, and that hasn't always happened. But they weren't doing let the dog out, and he needs to be hooked up. But anyway, Alan called for the dog, but he was across the street instead of in the backyard. And so when he called him, the dog ran into the car. So Alan and Joanna were witnessing, and they just feel very horrible. They could have made other choices or whatever. And I just say that, I heard, I went out. I knew that it was bad. I am so proud of myself, though, because I said, stop. This is mortal. This Mickey will be going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be with him. Let us help him.
Mm.
Let us enjoy the 2 moments that we have with him. The fact that I could find words was unbelievable. And then even asking the man who hit me again, just saying to him, it's not your fault. Please. Mm-hmm. I know we're sobbing and whatever, but, please, you couldn't. This is just a happening. It's an accident. I asked him to get our other daughter out so that we could all be together. And so we worked together as he passed. It's just been, I guess, the thing is that for our children, it's the first personal grieving experience. I know that that's best done together. And how we do this makes a difference on how other experiences process. And that it's a part of life. So, when you feel like crying, you cry. Step by step, and it's awful, and there's no way around it. It's through it, and we will get better. So it's just, I would have to say, I think a dog doesn't growl. He growls when you take something away, but it's like I knew that the children would be leaving home. Sarah's a senior, and I knew that my elders are fragile and will be leaving us in their due time. I just didn't it's like the dog was kind of my coping mechanism. So being
so
outside
sorry.
And stuff like that. So anyway, just asking for help, even figuring out what's the most important thing. But mostly, mostly it's how do we do this together? And we are. I'm really, really glad about you don't like to go through this, but I thought, first of all, we didn't have to make any decisions because the decisions were already made. So that's a blessing. And then the other thing is that grief is really hard to walk through. I'm glad the girls were home for this first experience because the world may or may not be gentle and accepting of who they are and how they process, et cetera. So, so that's what we've been doing. And we've had a lot of help, so it's good.
Yeah.
But thank you
sorry.
Yeah, I think this is my first experience with, raising a puppy, and so
part of the family.
So,
yeah, it's incredibly painful when a member of the family dies. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the dog doesn't grump at you like the teenagers do, or he always
yes.
wants to play or whatever. So anyway, so we're starting to remember good stories.
It's a rocky
like that. So
I'm so sorry.
Thank you,
Derek. Did I hear you chime in?
No, I'm back. I had gone on mute as myself. I had a work call to take for a minute. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Anyway.
So I think the celebration is a celebration of life for Mickey, a dog who reminded us of unconditional love and acceptance. He'd play anytime. And then even if you gave him a grumpy look, he still wanted to play. And how could you keep a grumpy look, you know? So it's a good, it's really, keeping that really forward in our lives and stuff. So
I think that's beautiful. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm just thinking for a minute because I want to make sure we are able to support you with what you need right now, but I also want to make sure that we're touching on what we need to touch on for everybody else in the group. So, Derek and Miriam, are you okay if we work with Carolyn for a little bit and then circle back, or would you like to do the reverse?
Absolutely. I'm holding my tears back. I literally had walked in the call room when I called and was hooking up my dog when she said what happens. Can't imagine.
No, feel free to carry on.
Okay. Carolyn, what do you need right now?
I think I really think that this process really ties into our subject. Because, you can't do grief well. I mean, hello.
Yeah, it sucks,
There's no picture of it. It's,
exactly.
I just think of my daughter.
How are the kids doing?
Everybody's handling it as they can. Having my daughter, put up a brave front. My husband is really, I can't, who's to say better, worse, or whatever, but I would say because of his lost job in October, I think he was really, he said to me, I was putting everything in compartments, and the dog kept me keeping everything straight in their compartments, and now it's, you know, everything is falling apart. And I, you know, the sobs are scary, but I think, you know, being supportive and being grieving and receiving support, I guess this is the first time that in my family that I've both taken a leadership role where I'm comfortable, but I'm also a fellow grieving member.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the mom of the dog, so needless to say, the more unpleasant tasks or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though I complained about them,
mm-hmm.
or being the only one or whatever, but I just, you know, miss them. But I think it's, you know, kind of listening in on everybody, but also being honest about what I need to do to heal, you know, or
mm-hmm.
to walk through this as well.
Well,
know,
I think that's
so.
A great question. What is your plan in terms of getting support for yourself and for the family as you guys work through this?
Well, one of the things is that we work with a counselor, and so so the day first day when the girls stayed home the next day from school because they just couldn't, like, we couldn't, we were just trying to make sure we each ate and, you know, moved around. Yeah, anyway, we were just operating very
mm-hmm.
Simple level. And but we did have a family meeting with the counselor. It was really the best first time we had a real family meeting, and you know, kind of learning the how to be yourself in this family group, and then, you know, our challenge of not all going into our own corners,
mm-hmm.
Which is
yeah.
So that was good, and I think that. For my husband, it really hit him hard. But for Joanna, she was trying to make things feel better because she just feels so guilty that she let him out. You know, I had brought him back in, and she let him out again. But Alan was, like, kind of unresponsive. But Jerry was, like, saying, okay, so in grief, you have to walk through this. But you have to take responsibility for maintaining your life too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we kind of talked about what that really meant. So it was, I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
I know that, I guess Alan didn't want to go to the family meeting, and I said, you know what? You have to come because you're the other parent.
Yeah.
You're part of the family, but you're the other parent.
Mm-hmm.
And however crushed you are, you are also a parent who has to help your children through this first grieving experience, no matter how bad you feel.
Mm.
So anyway, again, that's the first time I've ever been so clear and
mm-hmm.
so few words, and it worked. You know?
Good.
So I think it's more like, what are my roles at various points? I'm getting better at
mm-hmm.
not just assuming I'm in charge and it's all my fault
yeah.
or my responsibility or I need to fix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You can't
right.
fix
and let the counselor
you know?
Drive that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put everything in their hands, and then, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much
anyway,
for...
I think that's really all I need, because like I said, when I was reading through on the process stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just like the perfect thing, because I always wait for compliments on the process of whatever it is that I try to do, even when it fails, and like, wow, how do you do you celebrate improved processes or whatever? So even when things don't feel good, you know, and so that's as much as I can say, but thank you guys.
Of course, of course. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thanks for letting us be here for you, and definitely be keeping you and your family in our thoughts and prayers. It's a tough time, but it sounds like you're doing okay, or as well as can be expected.
You
You've got a plan in place to support the family.
Yes, I think I have been blessed because I have been forgiven, and I've been through very deep grief before, but I've been supported. And so it feels as though, like I've been learning from you guys, I cannot give what I haven't received. But when I do have received something, it is something I can share. And even the horribleness of it, and even knowing that all can be forgiven, and that things happen, and it could have been any one of us at any given time, you know. And so to me, that's a blessing. And then to be able to still use words with you guys and to say what I found is that everybody's been through this one way or the other, you know. And we get better at it as long as we do it together, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. As you're talking, I'm looking at the, you know, our topic for this week, and you know, kind of the bigger picture of everything that we work on together. And, you know, it's interesting that it applies in something so powerful and so moving as what's going on with you right now. And then it also works for, you know, getting your kid to put his homework in his backpack. You know, they're at such dramatic ends of the spectrum, you would think, by looking at them, but really it is all kind of interrelated, you know. And if you work on the process of getting the homework in the backpack, you're helping your child build those processes over their lives, so that when the really big hard stuff comes, they're better prepared. And I think it's amazing to me how these things work. But thank you for sharing that. So Miriam and Derek, do you guys want to take aim on a topic? And I can walk you back through the action model and kind of where we're focusing today if we need to kind of re-anchor for a second. So it feels like it's been a long time since we've all talked, because we had like 3 weeks off, it seems like. So we're looking on page 36 of the workbook. But specifically, we're talking about a piece of the parenting action model that kind of comes under plan. And when we're moving through the model, we start by taking aim. And as we said a million times, we want to get really specific when we take aim, because if we don't have a really good idea of what problem we're trying to solve, then we're not going to be able to find the best tools to solve the problem. And so after we take aim, then we educate ourselves. And that education piece is that getting curious that we talked about. What's really going on? What's it really like to be in our child's shoes? What else could be going on? And kind of getting to the bottom of exactly what is happening for our kids in that instant, that moment, that situation. And then once we know that, we move on to the planning phase. But we can't plan until we have touched on the four critical response areas. And those critical response areas are activating the brain. And activating the brain is, you know, whatever your child needs to be engaged. You know, for some kids, it's a protein-based snack, it's a nap, it's an extra, you know, stimulant medication dose in the afternoon, it's sleep, it's, you know, running around the block, it's exercise, it's whatever it is to help your child's brain engage. We also have to be positive as parents in order to help our kids do the best that they can do and be. And then shifting expectations, we talk about that 3 to 5 year, developmental delay. And shifting expectations does not mean lowering expectations. It just means setting a realistic expectation. And then also using systems and structures. And systems and structures are what we use when we put the plan in place. So once we have all that together, then we can create our plan, and then we act on the plan. And usually there's a little tweaking along the way. And if it works great, then we rinse and repeat. So that is the parenting action model. And our topic today, focus on the process, not the achievement, touches on two pieces of the critical response areas, and that's shifting expectations and systems and structures. Because, you know, when we think about the race, right, we're always in a hurry to get to the end. I'm like that. When I drive, I've always been the person that, you know, I drive really fast because I just want to get where I'm going. And for many, many people, and as it should be, the journey is the most important part of the trip. And when we're thinking about getting our kids to focus on a strategy or to use a process, it's way more important than the outcome. Because if we can get them to commit to the process, then they can be successful. And typically with our kids, I mean, it's not the outcome or the content that they're struggling with. It's the organization or, you know, the piece of the process that they are missing or don't know how to put in place due to executive functioning deficit. Excuse me. And then again, you know, when we think about consequences and rewards, if they're too far in the future, our kids aren't going to be able to sustain whatever we need them to sustain to get there. So if we can hold them accountable to a process, you know, 10 minutes of reading, you know, 20 pages of reading, five problems each night, whatever it is, and they can succeed there, one, it gives us more opportunities to celebrate and to congratulate them and to praise them for success. And two, it teaches them that that's the most important part. If they do all the right things and get the process in place and they still get a C or a D or whatever, but we know that they have done all the right things in terms of putting the process together and adhering to the process, then that's a completely different story than if they didn't do anything and got a D, right? So what would you guys like to take aim on with respect to focusing on the process and not the achievement?
I think for me, it's been a running battle for many, many years with my son and his eating. Yeah, we may have even touched on this before, but it's kind of a hot point in my house, and we've tried. I know people say they exaggerate when they tried everything. I think we literally have, but
yeah,
you know, he doesn't eat. Well, he has peculiar eating patterns. He won't eat much for bread. The only thing he'll eat is, you know, carbs, sugar, and I know that it's, you know, ADHD, you know, I've now learned that that's kind of fuel for, that's what they like to eat. I mean, all kids do to a point, but, you know, if he was on his own, he wouldn't eat anything nutritious except for, and he eats, all he'll eat is cheese, really the only protein source. Sometimes he calls himself a vegetarian, but he's not, you know.
He's a carboholic.
Yeah, but he'll eat bacon or, you know, he'll eat processed meat, pepperoni and bacon and that sort of thing, but. The concern that I have with it, and what bothers me, is he won't eat much for breakfast. He won't eat much for lunch. And he comes home, and he's in a really bad mood, especially when he has to start to do his homework as opposed to play, rushes through his homework and whatever. And dinner time comes, and if he likes what we're having for dinner, then he'll eat. I mean, he'll, you know, we're not even done saying the prayer, and he's already digging in because he's literally so hungry. But on nights when he's not liking what we have, he'll just kind of sit there and just kind of pick at it. And even though my wife generally cooks the dinner, we stopped a long time ago. We try to get him. He just said, "Hey, you're eating what everybody else is eating, or eating a peanut butter sandwich," and that just wasn't working. So he now works. You know, my wife maybe will make a little bit of a variation of what we're having. So like we're all having tacos with meat for our fajitas, she'll make him a cheese quesadilla. And then, you know, 30 minutes after dinner, when we've all cleaned up, then he goes in and he cooks a snack, or that's, you know, he cooks a meal for himself. He'll cook quesadillas, he'll cook macaroni and cheese, maybe oatmeal. And, you know, from the part that, you know, we've kind of gotten beyond, it's kind of, you know, insulting to, you know, my wife for cooking, and then he won't even try it. But just more to the point is he's in such a rotten mood in the afternoons and even early evening on the dinner. And we know it's so directly tied to his nutrition that, so once the evening comes, and part of it's his medicine. I know for a long time he was taking a medicine that really affected his appetite, but We've changed medications on him now that I don't think it has quite the effect. And the reason why I know that is if we're out somewhere in the middle of a Saturday, it's, hey, can we go eat out? And if we go grab somewhere lunch, you know, if we go to Subway, he'll get the footlong and a bag of chips and all that. But if we're not, I say, no, we're going to go home. Once he goes, oh, I'm not hungry. So he's such a salt and carbaholic, but it affects his mood. It affects his performance.
Sure.
And it's so hard to get him to see that. And like I told you about the golf thing, he really wants to play competitive golf. But he's going to crash and burn on the courses. You know, he's been talking about lately how he's been waking up in the middle of the night because he's so thirsty. He's not eating enough. He's not drinking enough. We have to remind him throughout the day, eat, drink, and he won't. You know, we've tried a lot of different, you know, my wife, much more than me, have really tried to reminders. I mean, to the point that, you know, for lunch, we just buy him these protein bars just because it has sugar enough in it to where he'll at least eat that. So it's not great to eat those all the time, but we just, it's better than nothing, you know. So,
right.
And getting him to eat fruit is just a, it's just a challenge. And just my concern is, you know, it's so easy to see from everybody on the outside if he ate a better meal, if he tried more things, and we find ourselves going to the same restaurants because it's just not worth the battle to go to a restaurant that we all like, but he doesn't. And I know that our, you know, the ADHD kid, well, just go to that restaurant, tell him to stay home. Well, it doesn't quite work like, you know.
Right.
He'll just sit in the car, and, you know, I'm not going to sit there and have him sit in the car, you know, during the restaurant. But
right.
So a lot of times
we
cater to
dinner,
him.
Right? I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah,
and we just cater to him. We'll go to a place that we know he can find something, just so it's just a struggle, and it's something that it's just really worn on us for a while because, you know, like I said, he's in a bad mood, he's tired, it's affecting his performance in so many walks of life. But yet we just can't, and we've even had him go to an eating counselor, but he would try eggs, for instance. And he'd say, yeah, I think I like those. And then as soon as he gets out of there, you know, the next morning we'd have eggs and say, hey, you know, you want to fix them? No, I don't, you know, I didn't like, I was just saying that to be nice. I don't really like them, you know. And, so it's just, you know, and there's a history of diabetes in my family. That's why I work extra hard to watch what I eat and keep my weight down and all that. And it's just hard. I mean, we, you know, everything you read about diabetes and, you know, it's becoming an epidemic. And so it's affecting his short-term performance and long-term, to wrap this up. Long-term, it's a problem because, you know, he's just going to have health problems when one day he doesn't have this miraculous metabolism and it all sets down. I think he's going to really struggle with health issues probably in his mid to late 20s, I would guess. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm completely wrong. But just everything you read about diabetes diets, I mean, it's just like what he eats. It's like a picture of almost every meal left to his devices. It's just nothing but sugary carbs and that sort of thing.
So we're taking aim on healthy eating.
Everything. Yeah, we've been trying, and, you know, we've been told many times and read, in fact, I know, I think, my, you know, we've been listening on here that try not to make, even though food is such a big part of, you know, not only our culture, every culture.
Right.
It's just, you don't want to make a big deal about it. If you don't eat much, well, you just kind of let it go. But it's just, it's so hard to see him day in, day out. And, you know, it's not like we can't provide, you know, good food and organic food, and, you know, I know not everyone has that, those means, but we do. So, you know, my wife and I generally eat very healthy, and his three sisters generally eat pretty healthy, so he's getting good examples around him. It's not like we're always turning it away, and we're expecting him to eat something that we won't eat, so.
Right.
I could go on and on, but you see what I'm getting at here. It's tough to see
yes,
the
absolutely.
Process, and we've been looking for little wins, and if he eats an apple slice at dinner, that's like a win, but it's just nothing that ever carries over. It's just, when he was 4 years old, we said, oh, by the time he's 6 or 7, he'll grow out of it. By the time he was 7, it's, oh, by the time he's 10 or 11, he'll grow out of it. When he's 10 or 11, by the time he's 14, he'll grow out of it. And here we are. If anything, he's eating less foods than he was even a year ago.
Yeah. Now, this is a really common problem. You know, I think I would be surprised if this scenario didn't happen in every single ADHD household in the nation. I mean, it is. It's a struggle. It truly is. I think it's a great thing to take aim on. I just tagged Diane and Elaine in the Facebook forum, and they're going to post a couple of articles that they have that are really, and we're going to come back to this too within the course of this conversation, but just for reference, there's some just really great stuff from them on house rules around meals and protein. And so check that out. I'll tag you in it as soon as they have that in there.
Okay,
cool. Miriam, what do you want to take aim on?
Oh,
I want to learn more. I mean, I actually, I'm sorry, is it Derek?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. Oh, God, don't yes, ma'am me.
I'm sorry. Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. Say ma'am or South or military. I just like,
he's in Texas. Anyway.
I live in the South. I apologize.
I know. I apologize. I'm a nasty New Yorker. What can I say?
My wife's a New Yorker. She's from Syracuse, upstate New York.
Oh, I'm from Poughkeepsie, so I don't have to quite be that bad. But anyway, sorry. She just, you know, must be happy to see the sun. So, you know, I more than understand, you know, every word he's saying. And I guess, you know, every time I'm on these calls, it raises more questions or makes me feel less confident, you know. So absolutely, positively, that's a massive issue with all four of our kids. We have the opposite, three boys and a girl. Thank God. It's, you know, day in, day out an issue trying to get, knowing that they need to eat or drink and they won't, trying to get them to do right, you know, eat right, blah, blah, blah. But it's this snag because, you know, what are we going to take aim at? Well, I'd love, and in fact, for a couple of weeks it was, you know, protein. I don't know, you know, it's not like you can reward them for eating right-ish, right? But anyway, but there are so much bigger fish to fry. I feel like that's not where I should be. But as you say, it's the basic, you know, it's down there on Maslow. If you're not eating right, everything else crumbles.
Uh-huh.
And in the pick your battles thing, I really don't know where to start.
Okay. So you want to take aim on healthy eating as well?
Well, you know, again, pick the battles and see, you know,
mm-hmm.
I, like Derek, have, you know, we have modeled this forever. He
mm-hmm.
knows what's expected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not sure he eats lunch at school. So my oldest is 15. My 12-year-old is 17. And I don't know what or if he eats at school, especially now that they have off-campus privileges.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes home, you know, it's a fight to ask him to take his medicine, God forbid drink a drop, God forbid eat, but you know, but that's one of 50 things, you know,
mm-hmm.
that,
but yeah.
You know, it's very hard to watch your children shoot themselves in the foot, you know, and the whole if then, you know, working memory, executive function stuff that they really can't connect it. And, you know, some of that is appropriate age. It's very few who are going to jump for a kale salad instead of a piece of pizza. So where do you start?
So what I always start with what your pediatricians say or what your kid's doctors say before we circle back into the model. When they go in for their checkups and they weigh them and you know, a lot of times they'll take a blood sample and see what their BMI is. What does the doctor say about where they're at in terms of being on the scale?
So he's, you know, this is a kid that was overweight before he started on stimulants. So, you know, they're still happy as BMI is where it should be. You know, and just if his, you know, you can, I won't get started on BMI. It doesn't tell you anything about your body composition. It just, you know,
right.
It's a straight weight. So you could
mm-hmm.
eat, you know, nothing but Hershey Kisses, although half our kids are lactose intolerant, and, you know, have your BMI be okay. You know, likewise with the height. You know, is it the meds? He takes you know, he takes some asthma medicine here and there. Who knows? And we're, you know, short little people. So certainly the pediatrician is not saying anything bad. His father happens
mm-hmm.
to be a pediatrician, and you know, is certainly on the same line. But that doesn't, you know, this is the same kid who looked at the orthopedist's eyes 2 weeks ago and told the orthopedist he didn't know what he was talking about, that he knew better.
Again, very normal for our kids. I love it. Okay, Derek, what's your pediatrician or doctor saying?
They try to, or she, we've had the same for all four of my kids. It's an issue that, you know, she talks to him about it. She tries to talk to him about nutrition. And, you know, when he's with somebody like that, it's, yes, I understand. Yes, I know. His ADHD psychiatrist has talked to him about it. His ADHD counselors have talked about it. And just, again, if he was really just this happy-go-lucky, nothing really bothered him, just rolled with it, I wouldn't mind so much. You know, I'm very concerned about the long term. It's hard to see your kid crash and burn. When just now knowing what we know, I mean, I know a lot of kids eat junk. I probably ate a lot of junk as a kid, but I also ate a lot of good food, too.
Uh-huh.
And my son has always been kind of underweight, and we've always used that a little bit against him as far as, you know, sitting in the front seat or you know, doing other things like that. You know, well, if you want to do this, you need to really get your weight up. And, you know, the doctors told us, let him eat whatever he wants, whenever he wants, just to get his weight up because he's underweight. And he's starting to catch up a little bit, but part of it is he just doesn't, you know, it just goes back to most of the food that he eats. It's just, you know, it's dairy after dairy. I'm lactose intolerant myself. I have one daughter who's lactose intolerant. If he ever wakes up one day and all of a sudden he's lactose intolerant, he's going to be, I don't know what he's going to eat. But, and I understand what the other lady was saying, but I just don't, you're right, it's one of many battles. But you have to fight at least one of the battles. And my concern is just long-term, I think, but just short-term, you just know that he's starving. So when he gets in these rotten moods in the afternoon, I get home and he gets very defiant. He's tired of doing homework. And a lot of it's just simply he's not, or, you know, I told you we start playing golf. We go play golf in the morning. We get back. We don't eat lunch out. And we get back in, you know, by 1 or 2 o'clock, he becomes very difficult, very challenging to be around. He contradicts everything you say. He tries to challenge you. And a lot of it is he just hasn't eaten. And he's like, okay, well, I'll go. And he'll eat a thing of yogurt. And he's like, okay, eat lunch. You happy? And it's just, and you see him around his friend. He'll go to a party, and he literally won't eat. I mean, he, if they don't have pizza, he doesn't. If someone's parents cook hamburgers, he just won't eat. He'll just wait till he gets home and just binges out. I mean, he will wait people out. He will go all day and not eat if every meal is something he doesn't like. So
well, it wasn't supposed to be about nutrition, but, you know, we don't keep sweets in the house for many reasons. Like, I'm sick of the fights, but also because that's where they'll go. So, you know, there aren't very many bad choices, but, you know, they're certainly not going to go for the best choices. But they can walk down the street and, man, you know, our dog is constantly finding Dunkin' Donuts boxes under the kid's bed, et cetera.
So they are eating.
They're eating.
We have the same problem. In fact, we started praising my son because we finally started doing sweeps of his room. Forever we were finding wrappers behind his bed or in his clothes drawers, and we went a couple months without doing it, and we were so happy about it. And then my wife one day was changing the sheets on his bed, and she somehow noticed something between the mattress. She picked up the mattress. She started shoving it all between the mattresses. So
shipped
all
place.
This candy that she bought that just suddenly disappeared. It was all there. I mean, I've showed some other friends of mine that picture, and everybody just laughs.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Our kids are creative, right? I mean, they're creative. They're smart. They know how to beat the system. They'll tell you that they know how to beat the system.
Sorry, Carolyn, I don't feel bad having this, but, you know, it's a huge issue. It's one I wish we could solve. It's one, you know, my friends seem to have somewhat less of an issue with, but, you know, not completely. You know, when that when the meds wear off and they're ravenous, you know, you do what you can, throw the nuts in them, et cetera. But, you know, one, I don't want to, you know, the more you say it, no matter how we say it, if someone else say it, give them documents, you know, have them watch this, you name it. You know, we're parents. We don't know anything. They know better. So they don't, again, make the connection that this actually has an impact. They clearly show that they're not going to follow it outside the house. And, you know, what do I use my bandwidth for? You know, for a kid who really doesn't talk, never did, you know, might be some expressive language, whatever. It's an important thing, but how often can you do the same thing?
No.
Well,
I agree.
I think we've, yeah.
I just wanted to input because this is a huge issue with our family, but I'm in a different space, and I'm not sure it's better, but I do know that I have lovingly detached from the issue, so I'm not feeling the stress about it. One of the things is my husband does a lot of sugar, and when I had to, that I can't make a rule and then fight him too, you know. But one of the things that just, I remember when Sarah was little and then just one of the things that she did is she ate the whole gummy bear vitamin bottle, the whole model. But she would also eat the sugar out of the sugar bowl, and it would be gone. But the best answer when I was just like ready to pull my hair out was to buy the Domino's sugar packets. And I know that sounds really silly, but honestly, we still use the Domino's sugar packet because, you know, at first it was like, oh my God, she should be able to do this or whatever. And it's like the Domino's sugar packet has saved our lives. Because it is a portion, and you can have six portions, and I may think it's too much, but it's not a whole sugar bowl. But the food thing, the only thing that I have found that has worked is if I have the wherewithal to be a mirror, and some days it works, some days it doesn't. But in terms of them connecting how bad they feel and whether or not they're taking care of their bodies. And it sound it I don't mean it sounds simplistic because it's, you know, it's really hard to do that, but I have had some luck now and then. I think, like you say, it's not about your following my rules or not. It is about taking care of the body that you have. And just the amount, I would say it's been about 3, maybe 4 years that I just don't have the energy to worry because we have diabetes in the family. We have blood pressure in the family. We have all of the other stuff, but right now I can't say anything because if I push one way, then it really, you know, then it's about me and not about them taking their personal responsibilities for self-care. So I don't know if it's because they're a little older or whatever, but I just wanted to say this is a huge issue. And ironically, like we've all decided we'd go vegetarian these 2 weeks because we can't stand it with the dog being dead. Like, where do your meat scraps go? And we were like, we can't handle that right now. So anyway, That's
those are all good points.
It's a tough one.
Every ADHD family struggles with this. I mean, we found a whole stack of Airhead candy wrappers this morning in the guest bedroom closet.
our 12-year-old
has been sneaking out at night and eating food in the guest room closet. And so, you know, we've struggled with the same situation with our other children too. And it is, it's very difficult as a parent to watch that and to know, or to try to know that it's going to be okay regardless. Right. So if we were to focus or to kind of circle back to the model and look at the process, not the outcome, if the outcome is for our kids to grow up to be healthy inside and out adults, and we're focusing specifically on the process with respect to getting them to eat healthier foods, what's one small change we can make? And if we get real specific, like focus on one meal or one snack or a system to support them eating one meal or snack, what's one small change or one small step that each of you can take to make that happen?
I'm going to continue to try to just I think the smaller battle might be that there's always a protein with the carb.
That's great.
You know, quite frankly, I'm ecstatic my husband's on board and, you know, awake to this at all. So that is a zone. That said, sorry, after we all go around and, you know, talk about this and for nutrition, I am very curious about how people, you know, what kinds of processes people focus on and how they measure them, hear about them, you know, et cetera, whether it's academic or, you know, brushing your teeth.
Are you talking about, like, putting a system or a structure in place, or are you talking about?
Whole, you know, the focusing on the process thing. Especially in the older kids, you don't see the process. Right? So, and
well,
that's.
Well, you can. I mean, it depends on what you're talking about, I think. And maybe that's part of putting the process together. I mean, if you're holding them accountable to something, then you have to have some evidence of the something. Right?
Right. I mean, I'm all about the process. I don't know where to start. You know, all we get at this point is a letter every 8 weeks, whatever it is, you know, on his grades. And if it's a great grade, he shrugs it off and says, well, I already knew it from last year. And if it's a poor grade, he's like, it's fine. And we've said 100 zillion times what we care about is, you know, the process. But he's a kid who doesn't talk, and we're told teenagers really don't have to. And, you know, like Derek said, it's really hard to watch him shoot himself in the foot because the only thing you hear about is the negative. And the only way he talks to us is if we ask him questions.
Okay. So maybe as we're going around, Derek and Carolyn are talking about, you know, a baby step they can take or, you know, an action step that's a realistic action step to kind of move us forward in the process. Think about that with respect to the situation you just brought up with respect to his grades, and then we can circle back on that if it doesn't kind of resolve that for you. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Derek, action step, one small step.
The
and I know you think you've tried everything.
Short answer is I'm not sure. We've tried, you know, we tried making a big deal out of it. We tried not making a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
We tried getting eating counselors. We tried... What I want to see is that he could self-moderate, because if he will eat something, it's because you're standing over him. And
we'll know he'll eat when you're not there, too, right? I mean, you're finding the wrapper, so you know he'll eat.
Right, and sometimes if you leave him alone too long, even though he's 14, he can take care of himself, but he'll just eat the same things over and over. But the candy part, believe it or not, I don't, you know, I'm not wild about it, but if he ate a more balanced meal, if he got better protein throughout the day, ate a good lunch, because I just truly believe, in my heart of hearts, it has a huge impact on his behavior. He doesn't drink any water. He says he is, but he's hardly drinking any water, and he's hardly eating food during the night. Mm-hmm. That being said, other than just we've been trying to educate him. I have a family member, a distant family member, who is just seeing the effects of diabetes at an advanced age really taking hold, and we're trying to use that as an educational process of this is what happens because this person ate similar to what you did when they were younger. I know it for a fact. It's not just a scare tactic.
Mm. That's okay. That's not a scare tactic. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I think the process is we just continue. I have to continue educating him. On, you know, I'm trying to use golf as a platform because he's really taking hold of golf. He really has a love of golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really using that as this is why you need, you know, look at all the big golfers, all the PGA golfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're eating nutritional meals at the same time, you know, throughout the day. You know, the candy mm-hmm. part, I don't mind as much if they ate a good, you know, a good meal to balance it off. But when it's
mm-hmm.
one type of food or category of food the entire time, you know, it just
mm-hmm.
it's hard to see. So my action is to just to continue to try to educate him and using
mm-hmm.
golf as a platform since that's what he loves.
Mm-hmm. Could you use golf as a reward with respect to what he's eating? You can't go play until he's had XYZ amount of protein or a healthy snack? And I know you're already linking it to some other things, but can that be
– Yeah, we make him – he'll eat a little bit before he goes out, but it's more during the school day because he's just so burned out when he gets home. And, you know, with the ADHD, the medicine wearing off, it's
mm-hmm.
it's like a rush to give him, you know, he's a restless sort, so we let him go out and run around for a little bit. But it's like the clock is ticking when he gets home.
Right.
To make sure he gets his homework done because if his medicine wears off, a 30-minute assignment turns into an hour and a half affair if we're lucky. So,
yeah, and it's not pleasant.
Right.
Can I ask about, you know, because that's the obvious, right? Keep them from doing what they enjoy the most. But I am incredibly hard, you know, to do that. A, it's the only thing he's motivated to do. B, it's exercise and fresh air. C, it's his source of self-esteem, you know, when
mm-hmm.
you're hearing a lot of negative all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, to threaten that just doesn't feel right.
Well, like we
you
said,
know?
I mean, it's a matter of prioritization, right? And it's a matter of figuring out what's most important at this point in time. And if, you know, that's a question only you guys can answer, right?
Well, no, I'm not saying specifically that. I'm saying in terms of making incentives for, you know, A, obviously you want incentives and not disincentives, but, you know, whatever we're taking aim at, how, you know, love to hear more about focusing on the process. Of the thing that I don't, whatever we're taking aim at, what the thing I'm very reluctant to, you know, use as a stick is taking away something that
mm-hmm.
that the kid finally finds something that makes him feel good about himself.
And we are. We've
no,
been very hesitant so far to take away the golf. I mean, that's kind of a last resort, and only if something major happens. But so far, it's worked out really well. That some things, you know, as far as getting schoolwork done and that sort of thing, it's, you know, but it's a short term, and sometimes things will settle back down. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, so far, we're going to ride that horse while we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't really have any intent of taking it away because it is good exercise. You're right. And it gives them something
yeah.
to really look forward to. And
yeah.
we feel like it'd
right.
be kind of the opposite. The happier, the more golf he plays, the happier he is. Then that whole
mm-hmm.
it'll spill over into other walks of life is kind of the way we're looking at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
mm-hmm.
that's his one source of happy.
So that's not a system or structure that's gonna work great for you guys in this scenario. So we need to figure out if we're taking aim on and if that's the priority, then figure out you know, a different step, obviously. That's not an option.
But I just wanted to say because I I know that with my husband, he has not noticed, sometimes he'll be saying to do something because he knows it's the right thing, and yet, I know how I reacted to my parents when I was talked to like that or whatever, and now I'm glad to be able to talk to them because I was a hard kid to have because my own ADHD, but some of the things that were really important is the best medicine is the connection between people. And I think for my husband, he would use a withdrawal of attention as a negative reinforcer. And I can assure you that works. That does not work ever, and it has a failure rate 100%. But it also builds animosity, and so I think that, like, in terms of on the processes, it's been my challenge to support the process of connecting and of making that effort of being together and stuff like that. But the other thing is that my favorite phrase, and it was a book that I had for instructional design, but the book is entitled Figuring Things Out. And encouraging them and me to be kind or fair as we're trying to figure things out. And I think that's what you're talking, Jeremy, about process. It's like, I want you to be able to figure things out. I'm not going to be here all the time to solve it or identify which is the top priority. So can I support your efforts, you know, that I'm saying to my kids or even my husband? I think you're going to be able to figure that out or whatever, to back out. And so I think for me, for taking aim, honestly, my thing will be the connecting, you know, mm-hmm. because right now through our grieving, the connection has to be non-judgmental and it has to be genuine, how the dog was, like, so I'm trying to be how the dog was, which is, you know, no matter, unconditional, that's, I guess. So, but anyway, so that's my little step. And I'm sorry, I'm so not clear at all. But
we more than understand.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. Yeah. I mean,
hey, Jeremy,
the process can be anything. I know, Derek,
you
need to wrap up. Yeah, go
yes,
for it.
So.
Thanks for being here today. And if you want, you can kind of email me your checkout and if you have a chance to write something up. So, what you're going to focus on, and if you have everything you need to be successful with that.
Okay.
Thanks, thanks everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
you see.
Sorry, for
well,
that
we
so
use...
much.
What's that?
What email should we use?
Oh, jeremy@impactadhd.com.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. And I will send you more stuff on process because I could hear the question in your voice, Bill.
Yeah, no, actually.
Are you sending it? Can you send it to all, me too?
Of course.
Because,
of course,
like
of course.
I said, everybody talks about it, but, you know, how-tos and clues are, like,
right.
What does it look like and
yeah.
What are baby steps
mm-hmm.
towards.
It's too intangible.
Yeah.
It's too vague. Yeah, no, I
yeah.
think that's good feedback. And I think to some extent that's intentional because, you know, the process, the nuts and bolts are, you want everyone to come up with their own. And part of that is, you know, part of the whole plan and curiosity piece and figuring out what's really going on and getting all those other ducks in a row and then being able to figure out what system or structure is going to work best in terms of managing a process or helping your child to learn a process. And so we can certainly make suggestions. You know, some parents have tried this and have tried this and have tried this. But really it's better if you sit down with your child and kind of come up with those things yourselves. And it may be something completely out of the box, something that no one's tried before. In the, you know, I always hate to limit options. I mean, there's things that have worked that we know have worked and things that don't work. And so, I think that Elaine and Diane like to keep it vague so you can come up with your own. Go ahead.
No, I appreciate that. And we need to, certainly, nothing's going to fit even each of our kids the same.
Sure.
We have to look at our own. But I have to say that, very often, like last week with the curiosity, or whenever, 3 weeks ago with the curiosity thing, I was really looking forward to these calls and dying to hear, what has worked and what people have tried and how, what they've learned from it. I know that if I give my kid sugar, even if I tie it with nutrition, he's going to crash, he's going to look again, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
It feels, if you're at Weight Watchers, it's really nice to hear from the people that have been successful, how they got there.
Right.
And then make, say, A, you can, it makes it hard to say, nah, that won't work for us because, it worked for someone else. Try to do it. And two, I just, you feel like you've done it. And I really am, whacking my head against, what, I don't know, anything I could whack it against to give me some ideas.
Yeah. Okay. So, one of the things that we can do, and I know you guys know this, Carolyn, do you need to go? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just wanted to add that on some of the topics where, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but, I don't even have a box to in my brain to store that topic. You know what I mean? There's
no frame of reference?
Or it's an absolutely blank slate. I don't even see a clue. And
gotcha.
So, for example, what I was thinking about is how helpful it was when our counselor was, trying to inch towards being able to talk or to find common ground or whatever. But his suggestion was, is it fair? But anyway, so just a simple thing like that changed it for me because it allowed me to just stay in the conversation. My husband's very logical, and he's able to really defend himself, and why is that? That's not logical. And then I'd be just with my stomach churning, saying, it just doesn't feel fair to me. And so that was, so having creating your own go-to phrase or something like that so that you can, think or live or whatever. So I guess that's what I was, it's not a critique. It's more I don't want advice, but strength, hope, and experience or
gotcha.
Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
hope.
Even pinhole, or
no, there's always hope.
If there's
always
one
hope.
Word that I could say that allows me to connect and be true to myself, not make it worse, or keep the conversation going while we figure out a process or something.
Gotcha.
But when there's absolute nothingness, for me, there's nowhere to go.
Okay.
And so I'll avoid because I haven't the foggiest.
Okay.
Miriam, is that? Or is she already gone? Maybe.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. You might have cut out.
Miriam, go ahead. So, Carolyn, what I'm hearing you say is that you're looking for something to kind of anchor it, either more. Almost like a process to identify the process. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, and Miriam, go ahead.
No, what I just realized is that, and this is going to sound silly because I am Army, when you guys were talking about that, I'm retired, sometimes having someone creating a, you get started on something, or here's enough structure to get started so that there's some movement. You know what I mean? Because being stuck goes nowhere. So at least, you know, something to help allow movement. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And Miriam, it sounds like you're looking for more tangible, specific examples. Is that, am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, my kids hate it when I give examples, but it's the only way I see it. You know, when you're in a world where the only thing you see and you think is normal is, you know, I have a husband and four kids and a dog with ADHD, right? Because all dogs have ADD, right, Mr. Marcus? Love that.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it? And all cats have, I think, Asperger's, it goes.
Schizophrenia.
You know, I was at an extraordinary EF conference last night with a friend of mine, and, you know, I said to her, you know, the first, before she even had her first kid, and, you know, turns out her kid has major issue, the first real moment I had that my kid was, quote unquote, different was walking out of, you know, she gave me a baby shower when I was pregnant with my second. And, you know, I was chatting about how am I going to motivate my then, you know, 2-year-old to get his butt in the car, blah, 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 you know, all those things. And everyone's like, you know, all the other moms are giggling and saying, well, do a sticker chart or do a this. And it's like, well, of course, I've done that 108 zillion times. Like, really, that works on anyone? Like, that was, you know, my first big aha moment. And, of course, the first thing you think is, I'm doing this wrong.
Right.
You know, it's not that my kid's, you know, dopamine
different.
Is not going where it needs to go. It's,
right.
I'm doing this wrong.
It's
everyone
you.
Else knows something
right.
I don't.
I get it.
So,
I get it.
You know, I don't want to be a broken record, but it is extraordinarily difficult when, you know, I am parenting my 8-year-olds differently than my 15-year-old to make sure that I make them talk. You know, I didn't with the other kids because they didn't like it, especially with my daughter. It really made her anxious. But, you know, I have no clue what happens the great majority of the time. I mean, thank God he's a great kid and, you know, a good kid, but how do I reward a process when I don't even know what he's supposed to be doing? You know, he has an extraordinary EF coach and who's supposed to kind of be locum parentis and making sure that things don't fall between the cracks. And, you know, this week we just got 2 warnings that he hasn't handed in tons of stuff. But we're also not supposed to ask and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I feel empty and, yeah, would love, you know,
you feel empty.
People have tried.
Well, the one thing that I will say is that there is, I mean, you guys are doing everything you can to be the best parents you can be for your kids. There is no doubt, right?
Can I add something, Miriam?
Please.
Sure.
You are a good mom. I mean, you are.
Thank you.
I think it's. I think,
you know, the proof will be,
you know,
where they are in 15 years, right?
No. This is the process of learning. You are a good mom because of the process you are engaging in, not the result of whether or not it's successful. You are a good mom. You care.
I could not have put it better.
You work
Perfect.
It out. And so, I'm sorry, that just jumped in my head, but I was like, I do remember when that has been the only thing that comforted me because I thought I was stupid or slow or whatever because my children this, that, or the other, and anybody else would have other whatever. And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it when you are a good mom. And this is not about.
Thank you for. So now you've brought tears to my eyes at the beginning of the call as I'm, you know, putting my dog on his leash to go out, and the end of the call. So I guess you owe me some Kleenex.
I'm sorry.
Carolyn, that was beautiful.
I have to go get more.
That was perfect.
No.
I think we don't spend enough time lifting one another up. And
yes,
it's very easy to identify and measure the things that didn't work. And a lot of the things you don't even know they happened until they don't happen or it didn't work.
Right.
But I think we don't celebrate just showing up, you know. And I think we ought to.
Well, that's, you know, I'll email it, but and I guess